And as we get underway, here it is, 307, 58 degrees in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO. And the Jeremy Lawrence program, the aforementioned Jeremy Lawrence is here with you. Yeah, that's me. And glad to spend some time with you here this afternoon. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but it's been one of those busy, busy days. But I always look forward to this time. This is one of my favorite parts of the day, really any day, because I get the opportunity to sit down and just chat with you. And we talk about whatever's going on in the world, looked up some interesting things, and I guess, for lack of a better term, I'm here to report on them, tell you some of my thoughts, get your thoughts and concerns highlighted as well. Of course, as with any and everything, when we talk about stuff, you're invited to be a part of the program. And there are simple ways to do that as we talk about our topics. 382-4280 locally, 877-382-4280 is our toll-free number. And also, you can get with us by going to 80373. If you just don't have time to chat on the phone, you don't have time to wait around, you can text us. We prefer to talk to you on the phone, but you can also text your comments and thoughts that way as well. Along with me today, normally it would be Michael Loudon. Once again, he is under the weather, so joining us once again today, Derek is with us. Hi, Derek.
Hi.
I tell you what, you know, you're the guy that's helping us out. 2 days in a row, you're just like, yeah, I got time.
Hey, you know, whatever I can do.
So either you like me or you like money, and I think it's probably the second thing. So
it's both.
Very diplomatic of you, I have to say. So when you get the opportunity to call in, you'll be speaking with Derek before we have the opportunity to chat with one of them. He's a nice guy. Don't worry. He's fine. He'll treat you nice. He'll only yell at you once or twice.
I won't bite.
Most simply because you can't bite through a phone line.
Exactly.
So, see, we've got protection for you and everything. So, Derek is with us today, and of course, you're with us as well. Just a couple of notes a little bit later on in the program. I don't know if you've seen the previews for this one. We're doing a movie giveaway. This particular one, if you're into horror movies, kind of that, I don't want to necessarily call it thriller, but I call it a horror mystery movie. It's called Oculus. I saw the preview on this one today. Just if you're into this kind of thing, this could very well be the movie for you. And they're going to have that at Celebration Cinema in Portage. We got 4 tickets to see it, and we will give that away a little bit later on in the program, so you can look forward to that. Also, our video of the day, because the digital department seems to think we need to have a blog up to talk with you. I've decided to hijack it and use it for viral videos of the day. They don't seem to mind at this point, so we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, we've got one for you today. This one is interesting. Group of voice actors, which I always have a soft spot in my heart for voice actors, the people that do various character voices and things like that. Well, the guy that does the voice for Winnie the Pooh sat down to do a little voice acting, and he did Winnie the Pooh's voice, but Darth Vader's lines from the movie Star Wars. So you've got to check this out. It is just pretty freaking hilarious. I think that's the best way to describe it. So check it out. It's Winnie the Pooh is Darth Vader. It's part of our blog section of the website. Go to WKZO.com. Down towards the bottom, this is underneath the news section, you'll find our blogs. Also, this is posted on Facebook, and we post it on Facebook every time we do one of these. So if you click on the Facebook link at the top of WKZO.com, you'll be able to get to it as well. So either way, I hope that you'll check out the video of the day. We have fun sharing them with you, and hopefully you'll have fun with this one today. Now, a little bit later on, I wanted to talk a little while about some of the different things coming out about Obamacare. Now, there's not anything huge or earth-shaking. No, the president hasn't decided to postpone it yet again. He will. It hasn't happened yet. But there are some things that are coming out to chat about that. So we'll spend a little time talking about that. Before that, though, there's been some notes in regards to the election this year. And, of course, Democrats and Republicans, you see them trying to read the tea leaves and figure out, all right, what kind of election is this going to be? You look historically, the off-year elections like this are usually good for the party that is out of power from the White House, which should mean, historically, Republicans should do very well. And Republicans are making this an election about Obamacare, and Obamacare, either that or the Affordable Care Act, either way you go, it polls pretty poorly. People aren't wild about it. They're starting to understand that, well, wait a minute, this means that I got to spend as much, if not more, money. Okay, don't like that so much. So that's part of it. But there are some that are looking at the 2014 election, looking towards November and seeing, all right, this could be another tidal election that would see the GOP. I mean, they're saying that it's better than even odds that Republicans will end up with the Senate. And that's a pretty big deal. I don't know that that necessarily negates anything that the president could do. But this sort of thing reflects in the state and regionally, locally as well, because, well, you know what? Yeah, we've got a governor's election that's happening this year. And the polling data is interesting because it comes out every week. You get a new poll and a different poll comes out and you see different results and you're supposed to sit here and read something into this. And I don't know, you know, I guess I try and look at this with the idea of saying, all right, well, what's the background on the poll that's being talked about? And what's happened with the poll? Well, there is a group called Public Policy Polling. And Public Policy Polling is admittedly a Democratic firm. And one of the things that they earned some marks for was accuracy in their 2012 presidential numbers. But this is an off year, and I don't know what their background is as far as off year races. But here's what we're seeing in this. And there's a couple of different polls that they talked about. In their poll of the governor's race, 43% would support Rick Snyder. 39% would put up a vote for his Democratic challenger. And this is presumably, of course, nobody else has stepped up to run in the primaries at this point. So we're pretty much figuring, all right, it's going to be Mark Schauer versus Rick Snyder. And they're saying 43-39. Now, here's the thing. In that case, they're saying 18% aren't sure how they'll vote in that. That obviously will swing the election. But in that particular case, Rick Snyder looks to be in a pretty good spot. Now, if you shift over to the race for the Senate seat, this is for Carl Levin's seat since he's retiring, you're seeing in that race, Gary Peters doing pretty well. 41% said they would vote for him. And 36% are saying that they would vote for former Michigan Secretary of State Terry Lynn Land. Remaining 23% say that they're not sure who they would vote for. Now, the interesting part about this, I mean, and if you remember, there were polls that were released in the last few weeks that had that Senate race at a dead heat. Now they're saying 5 points in favor of the Democrat in that. It's the first time that Gary Peters has been up in this race, admittedly, and it's been close, but he's not been up until this one. And of course, as you can imagine, he's sending out emails basically saying, well, momentum isn't something you can see. You can't reach out and touch it. But when a poll like that shows up in the morning headlines, you know you've got it. Now, one thing that the Terry Lynn Land campaign has said is that the poll has oversampled Democrats. And here are the sample sizes, just in case you're curious. 35% sampled in that particular poll were Democratic, 35% independent, and 30% Republican. Now, in the state of Michigan, you've seen a lot of times that in those off years, that the state tends to go a bit more red than blue. Presidential years, it tends to go more blue than red. It just seems to work out that way for some reason. But I think in this case, you're talking about a swing from this poll to the last. The last poll that I'd seen had Terry Lynn land up by about, I think it was 3 percentage points, basically a dead heat. And this poll has Peters up by, 5 points. I don't know. I'm not buying an 8-point swing there. I really am not doing that because this particular race is pretty tight. The other thing that I think at this point tells the story more than anything else, because it is early, the thing that tells the story more than anything else is that Terry Lynn Land in the first quarter of 2014 raised $1.5 million. And it's results like that that you got to say, well, wait a minute, it takes money to win elections, and that kind of money is certainly going to help. Now, I've not seen the reports of what her opponent has at this point, but I got to say, $1.5 million is a pretty good number. That's a pretty good indicator. There are people out there that are supporting her. So it'll be interesting to see how the fundraising numbers go with that, because I think when you really dig into this race, and it's going to take a while to dig into it, because let's face it, we're in April, we're talking about November. Technically, you've got the primaries in there. I don't know that there are any primary challengers on this one. So these two know they're going to race against one another. But I don't think we're quite at that point yet where people are going, okay, let's get this into focus. That's why it's an early look. But I think some of these polls early on, you know, and I'm not going to say that Rick Snyder, that part of the poll that Rick Snyder is up and showers down a little bit, that's wrong either. I think it's probably not quite as right as what you might think. Last poll I'd heard indicated that Rick Snyder was up pretty well. And they were saying that the final indicator on this is just going to be who can turn out their voters. So I think it'll be interesting to see how all of this cooks out. You know, there are people saying, well, this is 2010 all over again. And some of that is true. Because as Obamacare gets into, you know, where it's going to be really in effect, this is when people are going to step up and vote. You think about this. November's rolling around. There's going to be more implementation. That is, unless the president decides to push it off, which is entirely possible. He already has pushed off quite a bit. So people are going to be starting to think about this. Plus, they're going to know what their premiums are by then. They're going to know how things are going to go up. And everything that we're seeing indicates premiums for health plans through the exchange are going to be up pretty significantly. So I'd like to get your read on this particular election. What do you think is going to happen? And let's run down the list a little bit, all right? We've got the governor's race. What do you think is going to go there? Who pulls out? Is it going to be close? The Senate race, is this seat going to flip Republican or is it going to remain in Democratic hands? And how close do you think that'll be? And then overall, as you look at the race from a national perspective, you've got the House. It's in Republican hands right now. Will it stay there? Will that margin grow for the GOP? And on the Senate side, will Democrats be able to hold on to the Senate? Will they gain or lose seats? Will Republicans be able to flip the Senate to be Republican? I'd like to get your thoughts on that as we move along here. 382-4280. 877-382-4280, or you can text us 80373 and be a part of the festivities that way as we talk about this. Now, yeah, I know you're looking at this and going, oh, wait a minute, we're talking about November, it's April, it's a long time from now, but I think it's worth looking at it now, particularly, I mean, you know the candidates are looking at it, because it's going to make a difference in the way they campaign. It's going to make a difference in the way they approach this election. And I think, you know, you can look at the election and say, you know, there are some things that candidates are doing well, and there are things that some candidates are not doing so well. And that's something we could talk about as well, get your opinions. I definitely have some opinions as I've watched the race so far that I think, you know, there's some things that the Democrats are doing well, some things Republicans are doing well, and vice versa. There's things that both parties are absolutely missing out on, opportunities that could really, if they took advantage of them, these are things that could make the difference for them, whether it be taking that particular seat or whether it be taking Congress. So I want to get your view on this. Give us a call, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or you can also text us, as I said, during the entire program. We will take your texts as well and share some of those. 803-73, you just don't have time to wait around on the phone. That's a way to get through to us with your thoughts. Jeremy Lawrence continuing ahead here on 590 WKZO as we talk about the 2014 campaign. Where's it going to go? Keep it right here. We'll talk about it. .326 in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO, and Jeremy Lawrence with you, talking about the 2014 election. You know, just taking that first look at it, because that first look, I think it makes all the difference for some of the candidates as they look into things. Now, here's some of the other things, and this was out of a piece that appeared in MLive, talking about the poll that Public Policy Polling put together. I try and say that three times fast. Anyway, and Public Policy Polling, a Democratic firm, they talked about some of the other highlights from the poll. They talked about job approval for Governor Snyder. This is interesting. They're saying 40% of voters approved of the job that the governor is doing, while 48% disapproved. However, they're saying that he leads in the polls because of other factors. Basically, some Republican voters who are saying, no, he's not conservative enough, but would end up voting for him if they were faced with a choice between him and a Democrat. And the other part of it is that for a lot of people, Mark Schauer is kind of a guy that they go, who is this guy? And at this point in a campaign, you can see that. That makes a lot of sense to be able to say, all right, well, who is he? We just don't know enough about him. And I think you'll see that's one thing that his campaign will try very hard to define him, or at least they should, try and define what kind of a guy is he for Michigan voters. In terms of the Senate, they said favorability of both candidates looks pretty even, favorable and unfavorable. Terry Lynn Land had 31%, had 28% favorable, 31% unfavorable. For Peters, we're talking about 26% favorable, 27 unfavorable. The rest of people just weren't sure about that. So that one is going to be a matter of each of them defining themselves and which one of them can do better in defining their opponent. In the early stage of the going, I think you're seeing Peters trying very hard to define who Terry Lynn Land is for people. She's been out there. She's not talked as much about who she is. And, lest you think that I'm for her, against her, I mean, I've met her. She's a wonderful person. But I think the one thing that she's not done quite as much is define who she is and what she stands for and that kind of thing. She's done it a little bit, but other times she just doesn't do that. That's still early. People aren't quite paying attention yet, but it's still something to look at. Now, the other part of this is the Attorney General's race that's going on. Bill Schuette, current sitting attorney general for the state, leading over Mark Totten, 36-33. They're basically saying at this point, though, that 54% of Michiganians don't have any opinion about Bill Schuette one way or the other, even after he's been in office for an entire term. Now, he has been doing his job, but that's when it comes to these races, it's a little more difficult to identify yourself with voters. Let's face it, this particular round, they're going to be looking at the race for Senate and the race for governor. Those are the two biggies this year for the state of Michigan. So they're going to be looking at, okay, well, what kind of job is Governor Snyder doing? Do we want to replace him with a guy that we really haven't heard of yet? I don't know. And in the other case, I think you see a whole lot of, you know, this one is a dead heat just simply because, yeah, you got the true believers for both candidates in the Senate. But the difference is you've got an awful lot of people are going, who are these people? What in the world would they do in that office? Because you've got somebody unfamiliar on both sides to some voters. So it's going to take some definition. Well, we'll continue discussing the election for you. Also going to be talking with Bob Larson here in another 10 minutes or so. Tell you what the weather's going to be like as we head into the weekend. Keep it right here. Degrees in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence with you, heading through your afternoon together. Briefly trying to take, straining to take a look out the window from where I sit right now. Sadly, there is no window I can look out at this point. But as I understand it, things are relatively decent out there. It's one of those times where you finally get the idea that maybe spring has finally hit. Maybe it's finally here. Maybe we're not going to have that thing where it goes back to cold, 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 cold temperatures. Here's hoping, anyway. We're going to talk a little bit about that with Bob Larson here in just a second or two and figure out just exactly, not only for the rest of the week, but what the weekend looks like as far as he's concerned. Because, you know, I'd like to find out. I keep looking for excuses to be able to avoid getting myself out and running. But you know what? I think I've run out of them. Not only because the weather's good, but because, quite frankly, I've actually signed up for a 5K now. So I guess that means I got to start running. I don't know. But Bob Larson with us. And Bob, since I do have absolutely no excuse and I have to start running, am I going to see some good weather for it?
Yeah, absolutely. There were a few exceptions along the way. When is the actual 5K? How long do you have to prepare for this?
It's actually beginning of next month.
Okay, so we got time here.
Yeah,
so
a little
you
bit.
Can afford to just avoid those few bumps in the road, take a day off here or there when we do have some bad weather. But certainly nice today, and even a little bit warmer tomorrow. And while there could be showers in the afternoon, I think all in all it's a pretty good day. And the next chance of showers comes later in the weekend or early next week. But before then, it gets especially mild. The warmest weather of the year to this point is coming up for Saturday and Sunday. And after the rain that comes in later Sunday and early Monday, it gets colder. And not for very long, but it is going to get a lot colder for a while. Later Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, a definite setback. And then it warms up again the second half of next week.
Now, are we talking, when you say cold, are we talking like 40s and 20s or 30s and teens, or what are we looking at?
I think one of those days we're going to have a high only in the 30s.
Ooh.
And the other two probably in the 40s, nighttime lows in the 20s. One of the nights might go into the upper teens.
Okay. All right. Well, one day of that, I think we can handle that. We're hardy people, I think.
Yeah, it won't stop us from complaining about it once it gets here, though.
That's the truth. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely the truth. So, with the look at the weather, just so we could dig into this a little further, what's our word for the day?
The word is wonderful. It's a wonderful Wednesday. It's a beautiful day, upper 50s, and it's actually a few ticks above average at this point, average being in the middle 50s, so we're a little bit above that. And we shoot for 60 and above tomorrow and Friday. Showers will move in tomorrow afternoon. I think we're back to dry weather on Friday. Showers move in again later Saturday or Sunday, but before that time, upper 60s, outside shot at 70 on Saturday, and again Sunday if we hold the rain off long enough each of those days. And even if the rains do move in, it'll still be above 60, so exceptionally mild going through the weekend before it gets a lot colder starting with Monday.
Well, at the very least, we scheduled this right. You know, have all the nice warm weather on the weekend when people can get out and enjoy it. I mean, usually we have situations like me today. I've been stuck in meetings most of the day. And,
right.
You know, we're having a great day outside. It could have been pouring outside. I wouldn't have known.
That's right. You hate to waste a nice day when it's in the middle of the week. But we are going to have the warmest weather coming this weekend. And then it gets colder Monday and Tuesday.
Okay. Well, now if we could just get you to try and put that colder weather off till, say, October. You know, yeah. I'm for that.
Hopefully this is the last shot that we talk about with highs in the 30s and lows in the teens. Obviously, there will still be some cool days and chilly nights, but this might be the last time it gets that cold.
Now, Bob, one other question, because, you know, with the spring, you know, obviously we get out of all the cold stuff, but we're moving into severe weather season, the whole, you know, thunderstorms, and tornadoes and things like that. I'm not seeing anything in the forecast right now, but is that something that we really need to start preparing for?
Looks like we're going to have a delayed severe weather season this year. First of all, the severe weather season, being that and given that it is April, is already underway over the Southland. But even by their standards, it has been a reasonably quiet severe weather season to this point. And with time, as we go through the weeks ahead, as we head into later April, and particularly May, that's when the severe weather traditionally works its way northward and right over us. So I'd still be concerned about what might be happening down the road when it comes to that in May and early June, but I don't see anything like that at any point here over the next week or so.
Okay, so there's still time to get your plan figured out in case something awful happens.
Unfortunately, what we are waiting for and anxiously waiting for and sometimes not so anxiously waiting for and being impatient about is the warm weather, the really, really warm weather and some of that humidity that comes with it to make it feel as if it's almost summer. But unfortunately, those are the very ingredients that set the stage for severe weather. So I guess it's a matter of being careful with what you wish for.
There you go. All right. Bob Larson with AccuWeather. Thanks for checking in today and keeping us in the know.
Okay, Jeremy.
All right. And as we continue on with the program, we will take your phone calls as we talk about the 2014 election. Also, we'll be talking about some of the Obamacare things that are going on. There are some things out there in the news. We're going to talk about those a little bit later on in the program. Plus, we got some movie ticket giveaways and all sorts of stuff. So make sure you keep it right here. 590 WKZO, Jeremy Lawrence here with you. It's actually broken a barrier here at Kalamazoo. 60 degrees right now at 590 WKZO. I'll tell you what, 60 degrees. You almost want to bask in that just a little bit. Just enjoy that idea of all that warmth. But you've got Jeremy Lawrence here with you on WKZO. Glad to be here with you this afternoon. Well, there is some news out there about Obamacare. There's not a ton of news out there. You're not seeing the 60th attempt by the Republicans to repeal it. You're not necessarily seeing anything like that, but there is an interesting story, and this is something that that Jim Angle had covered. Fox News is talking about that when it comes to health insurance, you know, there's been such a push to get people to have coverage and that kind of thing. They talked about, well, all right, end of March is your cutoff, and well, okay, if you tried in before there, we'll help you out. We'll get it done. Okay. But given that there is a push to get people to have health insurance, you would think even after the deadline, okay, there may be some sort of a penalty, but we'll still get you signed up if you'd like to sign up for something, that kind of thing. You figure that would be there, that would be a part of things. Well, not so fast. Basically, and this is according to John DeVito, is the president of Flex Benefit, which has 2,500 brokers. They deal in policies for the Affordable Care Act. He's saying it's all closed down. You cannot buy a policy that is a qualified policy for the purpose of the ACA until next year, January 1st. So, and I think a lot of people are used to the idea that, all right, if I want to buy myself some health insurance, you know, it's like any other product. You'll be able to go out there and you'll be able to get it. And even after the deadline, okay, all right, there might be a penalty, there might be a fine, but yeah, I should still be able to get that. But I think here's the thing, an awful lot of people didn't necessarily realize, hey, you know what? there's a penalty involved in this, and there's, and I think they're not really going to realize it until they sit down to do their taxes next year. They're not going to figure that out, that, wait a minute, you mean I got to pay because I didn't have a plan? Some people haven't quite figured out that that's part of what goes on with Obamacare. And in the middle of all this, they're basically saying that, well, if you didn't make a choice, then you made a choice. You made a choice to go without a plan, and now you can't get one. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean if you get a new job and you sign on with the employer and there's health insurance involved, well, guess what? Yeah, you can still sign up. But if you're wanting to do this for purposes of qualifying for the Affordable Care Act, you're not going to be able to do it until next year. That's according to the president of a group that has 2,500 brokers that go and get people signed up for this. John Goodman, not that John Goodman, a different one with the National Center of Policy Analysis in Dallas, says people are not going to be able to buy individual and family policies, and that's a part of Obamacare. And he says, and I agree with him on this, what makes it so surprising is the whole point of Obamacare was to encourage people to get insurance, and now the market's been completely closed down for the next 7 months. So I got to scratch my head on that one and say, well, wait a minute. This was about getting people insured. This was about getting people in a position where they've got health insurance, they're covered. We wanted to get more of those people who are not covered to be covered. You'd figure there would be a way that they would be able to do this. But no, not so, according to these gentlemen. Now, the other thing, there was a survey that came out, and this came out a couple of days ago. And they're saying that the United States is going to see the sharpest health insurance premium increases in years. Said the average premium increase for customers renewing an insurance plan for this quarter has been 12% in the small group market, 11% in the individual market. It's the largest in the last 3 years. That's according to Morgan Stanley's quarterly reports. And they say they are, quote, largely due to changes under the Affordable Care Act. So these are some of the things that we're dealing with right now. This is some of what's come up. And, you know, you talk about Obamacare, you talk about the way that it was rolled out, and it basically was rolled out and fell on its face. And it took them a month to finally get to the point where people could actually, oh, I don't know, buy health insurance on the exchange that they had 3 years to put together. And now we're seeing, okay, you wanted people to have health insurance, but it's going to be more expensive, something that we were told it wasn't going to be. And, by the way, if you didn't get it bought, then you're not going to be able to purchase it until next January. Too bad, so sad. Now, yeah, some of the word was out there in the media that they were saying your deadline is this and that kind of thing. But even still, in polling data about this, there were an awful lot of people that weren't even truly aware of what Obamacare is or what it does. They just didn't figure, oh, it's not going to be that big a deal, doesn't affect me, doesn't impact me. And largely for us right now, if you're on a policy that you got through your employer, it really hasn't affected you yet. It will. It will, and you know it will. Because when that employer mandate comes around and finally gets in effect, unless the president puts it off again, then we're going to end up having some issues to deal with employer-provided health care plans. Personally, I think it's going to push an awful lot of people out onto the exchanges because there's going to be an awful lot of employers that go, well, we don't really have to offer it, I suppose. It's going to be cheaper to do the penalty than it will be to actually offer this. So we'll pay the penalty, and that'll push people out on the market. Well, they get their own health insurance, and that's okay. And that's going to be a problem all the way around if that sort of thing happens. These are the things we're finding out as we dig into Obamacare a little bit further. Now, the interesting thing about this, in the midst of this, there was a story that came out a few days ago talking about Republicans deciding that they wanted to get a change in Obamacare to expand coverage choices. And this was for small business coverage options. And Democrats are saying, well, this is the sort of change that we've been eager to make in Obamacare. And here's the thing. If you're eager to make it, why wasn't it there to begin with? If you're eager to go, oh, well, there's different things we need to do. Well, they were the experts that decided, you know what? We need to pass this thing in the first place. So why not make the changes then before you even pass it? One wonders. We're going to continue the discussion. Take your phone calls. Here's the numbers, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, as we continue ahead next hour with Jeremy Lawrence and you.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.